WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock we have fog, partly cloudy to cloudy skies, and 45 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Our forecast is calling for this fog to burn off eventually this morning. We'll have partly cloudy to cloudy skies with isolated showers late this morning, and then again this afternoon, a high around 67. In the news this hour, a Southwest Iowa man was arrested this morning in Plattsmouth, Nebraska, following a stabbing incident. According to the Omaha World-Herald, the unidentified 24-year-old Essex man was taken into custody by Plattsmouth, Nebraska police after a bulletin had been issued by the La Vista, Nebraska Police Department. The paper says two unidentified women, a 31-year-old and her 18-year-old stepdaughter, were stabbed early this morning in their La Vista apartment. The suspect is reportedly the stepdaughter's ex-boyfriend. The women were said to be in critical condition at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha, but are expected to survive. The incident occurred at around 4 a.m. News time is 8:01.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A Southwest Iowa man already in prison for raping two women in Nebraska has pled guilty to three counts of sexual abuse in Iowa. Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur said the case against 46-year-old Todd Mills of Shelby spanned both states.
We really had kind of a joint investigation going because Mr. Mills had victimized ladies on both sides of the river.
Mills was sentenced in September to up to 140 years in prison after being convicted of sexually assaulting two women at gunpoint in Omaha. He was also charged with four counts of kidnapping and sexually assaulting four women in Iowa from June 2008 to June 2010. The women were left along a county road in rural areas near Council Bluffs. Terms of the agreement with prosecutors means that Mills will spend more time in an Iowa prison.
Doing somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 50 years in prison before he'd be eligible for parole.
Mills' Iowa trial was scheduled to begin next Tuesday. Police are still searching for a suspect who shot and wounded a man in South Sioux City, Nebraska. The shooting happened at a house in a neighborhood just before midnight Tuesday. Police Lieutenant Chuck Carson said the victim was a 25-year-old man believed to be from Sioux City in Iowa. Carson said he was shot multiple times. The man's name and his condition have not been released. Iowa and Nebraska have left the Missouri River Association of States and Tribes, known as MORAST. Remaining members are meeting this week in Kansas City for the first time without Iowa at the table. The group was made up of seven states in the river basin, along with several Native American tribes, and now only five states remain. Chuck Gipp, deputy director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, said the reason Iowa left was simple.
We didn't think that the lower basin states were being represented very well by that organization.
The executive director of MORAST said this week that Iowa is welcome to rejoin the group at any time, but that appears to be unlikely. Gibbs says Iowa decided to leave in large part because of a host of issues that arose from the record flooding on the river last summer.
It was determined by the governor of Iowa that we would withdraw simply because of we didn't think that we were being listened to as far as using the controls that we have on the Missouri River for interest in the lower basin states. And I think it got people's attention, and hopefully we can work forward from that aspect.
Gibbs says despite leaving the association, the state will continue to cooperate with other states in the Missouri River Basin, just not through MORAST.
All the states have an impact and contribution, so it's going to be important to continue to talk with the upper basin states what's good for the entire Missouri River stem, and because we certainly can't go it alone.
Morast still includes Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Kansas. The group's website says it was formed to help resolve issues of concern to the basin states and tribes, to serve as a forum to foster communication and information exchange among the member states, tribes, and other various governmental units, and to facilitate the management of the natural resources of the Missouri River Basin, including water resources, fish, and wildlife, while considering the impacts to the economic, historical, cultural, and social resources. Elsewhere in the news, analysts now say that consumers in parts of the U.S. will see gasoline at $4.25 a gallon by Memorial Day. Iowans are now paying around $3.80 a gallon on average. A month ago, the statewide average was $3.46. Rose White at AAA Iowa said motorists can save fuel by following a few simple tips, like changing up how they buy gas, for starters.
Some grocery store chains are offering discounts at particular fuel outlets, and if you combine that with the credit card discounts that are offered or rebates, the combination can save you as much as a dollar a gallon.
Experts say an idling engine burns about a half a gallon of gas every 30 minutes, so White says if the car doesn't need to be running, shut it off.
Unnecessary idling wastes fuel, so avoid those long drive-through lanes at fast food restaurants, car washes, and banks. Check and replace your air filter twice a year.
Avoid slamming on your brakes and jackrabbit starts, as they can reduce fuel efficiency by 30%. Also, if you don't need premium fuel, don't buy it. White says every time a driver pulls up to a gas pump, they should check their tire pressure.
The average motorist wastes 10% of their fuel by driving on underinflated tires. And also, those heavy items that you may have in your trunk, such as bags of sand, they should be removed.
White says to combine trips by stopping at the grocery store on the way home from work instead of making an extra trip. AAA also recommends removing rooftop cargo carriers, as they can cause wind resistance and even worse mileage. Well, today is the second anniversary of what Democrats call the Affordable Care Act, while Republicans refer to it as Obamacare. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack is part of President Obama's cabinet now, and he held a news conference with reporters this week to tout the national health care reform law.
One thing that people don't realize about this is that it actually will reduce the federal budget. The Congressional Budget Office has determined that this act will reduce the federal deficit by over $100 billion during the course of the next decade.
According to Vilsack, the agriculture secretary, people can also overlook the tax breaks that were included in the legislation.
Particularly for small businesses, a 35% tax credit is a fairly significant tax credit that makes it a little bit easier to afford the cost of health care coverage for a company that has maybe a half a dozen employees or so.
Carolyn Sheridan, a registered nurse at a hospital in Spencer and clinical director for AgriSafe, a network of health professionals who work in rural America, was invited by Vilsack to join his conference call to laud the provision that bars insurance companies from denying coverage due to pre-existing conditions.
Many times that was the reason they chose not to have insurance later, because they knew that for the very reason they needed insurance, they now could not get that insurance.
From the other side of this debate, Republican Congressman Steve King spoke at a Washington, D.C. news conference this week to mark the law's two-year anniversary.
Tens of thousands of Americans came here to this city to say to their legislators, keep your hands off of my health care and our Constitution.
For the past 2 years, King has argued for a complete repeal of the law.
If we turn the American people loose to come tear these pages off, they would tear every page out of there, and there'd be people standing in line to do that.
King has called the law an assault on the personal liberty of Americans that nationalizes our skin and everything inside our bodies.
Piece after piece, we know how bad this is. I don't have to go down through the list. It's unaffordable, unsustainable, unconstitutional. The Supreme Court will get a look at this later on this month, and I hope to be there to hear that argument.
On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court will start 3 days of hearings featuring lawyers arguing both sides of the health care reform dispute. President Obama signed the health care reform bill into law on March the 23rd of 2010. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the U.S. Army sergeant accused of killing 17 Afghan villagers will be charged with murder today. But the attorney for Robert Bales said the government will have a tough time proving its case against his client. Attorney John Henry Brown told CBS's This Morning program that Bales has had memory problems since before the March 11th shootings and has suffered a serious concussion that went untreated. President Obama will discuss keeping nuclear weapons out of the hands of terrorists when he meets with nearly 60 world leaders Monday and Tuesday in Seoul, South Korea. Obama leaves Washington later today. A federal judge has frozen the assets of the girlfriend of Boston mob boss Whitey Bulger. The judge is also barring Catherine Gregg from selling two Boston area homes. Gregg pleaded guilty last week to harboring Bulger for the 16 years the couple was on the lam. Cloudy skies have once again delayed NASA's launch of 5 suborbital rockets from Virginia's coast. NASA had planned to launch the rockets early this morning following several earlier postponements due to bad weather. NASA officials say they'll decide later today whether to set a new launch date for Sunday morning. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And checking our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Cletus Sporer, age 60 of rural Audubon, died Monday at his home south of Templeton. Funeral services for Cletus Sporer will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Lester L. Jorgensen, age 90 of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Lester Jorgensen will be held today at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center is in charge of the arrangements. Carl Byland, age 82 of Avoca, died Sunday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Carl Byland will be today at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Dennis Randerus, age 64 of Jacksonville, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Dennis Randerus will be today at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Ronald Lee Jacobson, age 73 of Harlan, died February 20th in Texas. Funeral services for Ronald Jacobson will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lynn Dale Jonk, age 61 of Council Bluffs, died February 21st. Memorial services for Lynn Jonk will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Danielle Cherry, age 27 of Greenfield, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Danielle Cherry will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Wanda Penfold, age 94 of Tempe, Arizona, and formerly of Coon Rapids, died Monday. Services for Wanda Penfold will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Coon Rapids Methodist Church. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Darlene Mae Carney, age 87 of Oakland, died Wednesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Darlene Carney will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Oakland Congregational Church. Regan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Vera Pearl Mevis, age 98 of Chicago, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Vera Mevis will be Saturday at 2 o'clock in the Shelby Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Janelia Copenhaver, age 81 of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Janelia Copenhaver will be Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Pamela Jurgensen, age 59 of Manila, died Thursday at the Manning Regional Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Pamela Jurgensen will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Iola Nelson, age 87 of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Iola Nelson will be Monday at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Carla Bruner, age 69 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Creighton Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Carla Bruner will be Monday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Arlene Parenti LeClaire, age 84 of Lakeland, Florida, died March 17th. Funeral services for Arlene LeClaire will be Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Reformation Lutheran Church in Lakeland. Burial arrangements are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Warren T. Chaffee, age 86 of Lancaster, California, and formerly of Harlan, died February 9th. A memorial mass for Warren Chaffee will be held on March the 30th at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Angela K. Wilson, age 46, of Harlan, died Tuesday. There is no viewing or services for Angela Wilson. The Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is assisting the family. Our news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting for KJAN News.